On this episode, we bring in Mike Hogan to help preview the Argos season. The bye week AMA is back. Plus, we have the greatest fantasy picks and advice in the history of all Argo fan run podcasts. Ah, we got it. Crack those cold ones. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. And by the way, we are powered by Spotify for podcasters. So just go directly to Spotify and get us right there. Search Argos Fancast. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is the VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And Doug is off this week. He'll be back in a couple weeks when he's back on days. But you can find him himself at DougB519, or you can find his group, the Double Blue Order. Just search Double Blue Order on any social media that you want. You'll find them there. And you can also get some brand new merch at DoubleBlueOrder.ca. Well, Will, preseason is in the books. We've had some cuts. We've had some I'm not sure I've been surprised by much yet so far. But we'll talk about that a little bit later when we talk about the cuts. We got Mike Hogan, who's going to come on, and hopefully we can get him in on the Ask Me Anything that we've got going on, because I think he might have some interesting answers for some of the questions we got lined up from our friends on social media. And I know you're super excited that we're back doing fantasy and pick 'em, because it's your it's your favorite thing of all things.
It's I can't wait every week to pick my team.
Oh, well, we're starting it off on a good note. The Argos in the preseason, 0-2. Mm-hmm. But it's a preseason. You know, none of that really matters that much.
You hope so.
I was more glad to see live football again and see the things we wanted to see out of certain people on that field.
Yeah, no, Chad Kelly definitely instilled confidence. We can debate his backups later, who didn't quite show us any confidence, but
well, nothing mind blowing anyway.
No.
AJ Willett looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, I mean, even though we didn't play a whole lot of our starters on the defensive line, I thought they looked pretty good. Especially in that the game in Guelph, they got some good pressure, but some of them looked a little green.
Well, too many breakdowns in that secondary.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, it seemed like that line was getting pressure, but they were like a second too late.
Well, I looked at it and I looked back on it and I'm like, you know what? They can make that first move, but they're not making the second move that you need to make sometimes, because they were running right by the quarterback. And, you know, the guys that were getting beat on the first move were hustling back to catch up to our D lineman and then just kind of directing them past. So, you know, it's that second move that I think was missing a little bit, but I mean, that be said, we didn't see a lot of our starters.
No.
So you know, that could come into play there. But you know what? I think, you know, we've got our own opinions, but, you know, we've got somebody who's got a little bit more in-depth knowledge of this team, maybe. Maybe not. I mean, you're pretty knowledgeable about this team, Will. So we're going to bring on Argos play-by-play guy and communications manager, Mike Hogan. Well, Mike, thanks for joining us on the season premiere of the 2023 Argos Fancast.
It is a pleasure. I am proud to be one of your debut guests.
Well, I mean, we brought you in because, I mean, you've been with this team for the better part of the last few years now. And so you were right with them in training camp. From when last season left off and we were hoisting the cup to what you saw in training camp this year, how much has changed outside of
a lot and a lot of the, yeah, not a lot and a lot at the same time, if that makes any sense at all. Not a lot in the sense that every coach is back, which is huge to have the continuity. You know, the veterans know the system. They know basically everything, which, you know, compared to a year ago, all the defense knows what Mace is all about. They didn't have to learn it. Unlike a couple of years ago when Dinwiddie came in, you know, the offense had to learn everything. For the most part, the guys know the system. They know their positional coaches and their positional coaches know them. So there's a lot of continuity there. That said, on offense, certainly you've got a new maestro of the orchestra in Chad Kelly. And while he obviously filled in one game and one quarter exceptionally well, he played one game and one quarter. So, you know, he does know the system. He's worked his rear end off as hard as anybody ever has in the Argonauts trying to get ready for this year. So, in terms of the offense, I think it'll be a lot of the same, just with a different guy under center. And, you know, defensively, it'll be the same system, but there'll be a lot of new players and there'll be some players in different positions. And, you know, it'll probably be a little bit quicker with the Remolade and Costigan. Robbie Smith has gotten quicker. Brinkman in for a full year is quick. He's big, but he's quick. Hendricks is a dominant force in the middle. Oakman is back. I mean, these guys can fly around in there. And then, you know, you bring in guys like Jordan Williams and Adarius Pickett at the next level. You've got McManus back, Mwamba back, Jones back, Hoyt back, Kassar back. The linebacking core is awesome. And then along the back, you've got a lot of veterans, although some of them will be playing in a little bit different position this year. It's a lot of the same. But the big question is obviously a quarterback, and I don't think there's anybody affiliated with the team that doesn't think number 12 is going to get it done.
Speaking of number 12, I think a lot of people, I mean, if they really look back at how kind of how his rights were acquired, this almost seemed like they were targeting Chad Kelly to be their guy. You know, when they traded for his rights and everything like that, they really believed in this guy.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy with a boatload of talent who did some dumb things when he was a kid, and it caught up to him. And there was never a doubt about the arm strength or the mobility. There were questions about the dedication, I think. And I think that I know that Chad Kelly has worked so hard in the offseason to dispel any of that. He wants to succeed. This is his opportunity. This is what he's played football for since he was a kid, to be a starting quarterback at the pro level. Obviously, when you grow up in Buffalo, New York, and your uncle's name is Jim, your dream isn't to play in the CFL, it's to play for the Bills. And, you know, there's a part of him. He's only, you know, 29 years old. He's still got time. If that is his end goal, to get back to the NFL, well, good on him. And if he can lead the Argos to another championship in the meantime, that's fantastic. I mean, that would be win-win for everybody. So he's come in. He's taking this exceptionally seriously. You can tell on the field at camp, he is the leader of the offense, zero question. Even though he's got other guys who can do that as well. You know, Andrew Harris is Exhibit A. So I think they're in a really good spot, and I think Kelly's in a really good spot. and he really has the opportunity to now to silence some critics, and I think he really, really would like to do that, even though he may not say that.
What I liked about Chad Kelly was, I think it was the preseason game in Hamilton, the Argos had just given up a punt return touchdown, and he's in the middle of the huddle there trying, you know, even though he wasn't playing that game, he was in the middle of the huddle there trying to get the team fired up. So, you know, I think he's definitely taking, I agree, he's definitely taking the leadership role to heart, and that's something good to see. And, you know, Mike, if you've had a chance to see the Dave Naylor interview that he did with Jim and Chad, and, you know, Chad looks like, you know, he wants to, he's saying all the right things. You know, yes, I agree, his goal may be to go back to the NFL, but for 2023, I think he's all, you know, Toronto Argonauts, and that's great to see.
Oh, he's all in. No, zero question about that. I did a piece for Argonauts.ca during camp where I grabbed after a practice. I grabbed Chad. We went up to the linebacker's room, which was empty at the time. I put the phone on the table, and we talked for, I don't know, 15 minutes. And every answer was from his heart. There was, like, you could tell, like, you know, I've only known Chad a year, but I could tell he was being as honest as he has ever been, and, you know, talked about the immaturity as a kid and where he is now and just how he's changed and everything that he's doing, you know, the amount of preparation he's doing, the film work that he did in the off season, staying in Toronto to work with the receivers in the off season, you know, immersing himself in the community, going to MLSE Launchpad when he did more than one occasion, working with the kids. You know, he talked about how his regimen has changed, where everything that he puts into his body, he is aware of every, you know, he knows how important sleep is. Like, he has become a machine in terms of football. This is what he does. This is what he wants to do, and he wants to excel at it. So, he is leading by example. He's a vocal leader on the field as well. We all know Mac was a guy who every once in a while he'd get the first down and he'd do that big arm point, and then he'd get back and he'd be that cerebral guy who would lead on the sidelines as well by being a vocal guy. But Chad Kelly wears every play on his sleeve. I mean, you know if it was a good play because he's out there, you know, running up to his teammate to pat him on the helmet or on the butt. And, you know, that's him. He's a more demonstrative guy by nature. So, you know, I think fans are going to see maybe a little more high tempo offense with Kelly. You know, will he be as successful as Mac? We'll find out, but there is zero reason why he won't be.
Do you think they're going to have to lean on the running game a little bit at first to maybe take some pressure off of him, or you don't think that that'll be necessary?
No, I honestly don't. I mean, he's practiced last year when he was taking the two reps. You know, Mac was obviously getting the ones, but even playing the two, he's playing against a good defense every day. Like, we've seen enough of him in practice. We know what he can do. We saw him in training camp. And the one thing that that impressed me a lot is about 5 or 6 days in, I think it was the first Saturday of camp, he stunk. He was like through 2 or 3 interceptions and he looked bad. Like, he didn't look like Chad Kelly, and it was really cold. It was the coldest day of camp. I think there was a little rain that day. And then the next day he came back and he looked great. Like, he had taken that day and flushed it. I asked him what he did, and he said he called down. He's got a guy that he works with down in the States, and he phoned him and they went over film and they talked about the mistakes. And the next day those mistakes weren't made. You know, when Chad Kelly was 21, he may not have done that. You know, it may have been, okay, the practice is over. Now what am I going to do? I don't know Chad Kelly. I didn't know him then, but that's kind of the reputation that he's fighting right now. You know, we talked about his maturity level and how he's changed. You know, and I pointed at myself and said, you know, when I was 21 or 22, you know, looking back at that guy, I'd say, what an a-hole, right? I mean, because I didn't mature until I was, well, some people say I haven't matured yet. But, you know, I didn't mature until I was around 30. And he seems to be in that boat as well, where he talks about, you know, 21-year-old Chad Kelly being a totally different guy than who he is now. And, you know, look at yourselves when you were 21 and 29, the big difference. And he seems to have learned from the mistakes. He's ready to go. He's dedicated. And, again, I can't wait to see him run this offense all year.
Now, moving a little bit away from Chad Kelly to the guys protecting him up front. We lost Philip Blake and gained a Darius Sirocco. Darius Sirocco was a center. Is he coming in, and are they going to be? Is he going to be a backup, or is he going to be used on the rotation in the line?
I'm not sure, to be honest, and I think that depends on what they do with the Canadian ratio, right? You're going to go with three for sure on the offensive line. You're going to go Gittens for sure. That's four. You're going to go middle linebacker for sure. That's five. You're going to go Mechie for sure. That's six. Now, where is seven? Is it going to be a fourth offensive lineman? Is it going to be Neild or Brissett or Ungerer? Is it going to be a case where you're always going to have Robbie Smith or Sam Achimpong or Deontay Knight or Benoit Marion on the D-line? I don't know. That, I think, has yet to be determined. But not only did they bring in Sirocco, don't forget, they get Nicastro back this year. Isaiah Cage is back this year. And Dylan Giffen looks phenomenal. So, we also have McKellar and Tate and Dejon Allen, who was their best lineman last year. Shane Richards, luckily that injury wasn't as bad as everybody feared. So, it's a ridiculously deep offensive line, and I think it's yet to be determined who plays where, because you've got guys who can play up and down the line. Ryan Hunter can play center. We saw that in the last game. The game that Chad Kelly started last year, Hunter was his center. Sirocco, as you mentioned, can play center. You've got Bladeck, who's going to be a guard when he's healthy. You've got Cage, Tate, Allen, for sure, as tackles. Giffen can play inside. McKellar can play inside. Sirocco, Richards can play in or out. Like, they've got options, and I think we're going to have to wait and see how they line up against Hamilton, because, I think some of it's dependent upon health, but there are so many options here, and with the depth they have right now, they're in a really good position where if one guy goes down, there's going to be a quality player there to back them up.
Well, you've mentioned offensive line. You did mention briefly defensive line. Now the linebackers, obviously, lots of depth there. The one thing that I think both Will and I noticed in the preseason is there seemed to be a little bit of a weak spot on the corners. And I know we're trying out some guys over there. What does the team feel internally? Like, is that was just kind of a one-off that we kind of saw in the preseason games, that they were getting beat outside? Do they have confidence in the guys there? Do they know who's going to be in those roles?
I think that early in a season, you're going to see some busts, whether it's with the first guys or the second guys. We saw that at the start of last year as well. Don't forget the thing that happened out in Vancouver last year. That was a Grey Cup champion that did that, when they lost 1,000-2 or whatever the score was. There were some breaks in that game and some busts in that game. This year, you've got Mechie and Amos. You're going to have, Mechie in the middle and Amos at one of the halfback spots. One of the interesting things, and it worked, was Priester at corner and moving Robertson Daniel inside to the boundary half spot. And he was probably the best DB in camp, outside of Vidarius Pickett, maybe. He just seemed to make a play or two every day. Priester looked really comfortable on the corner. He got a little nicked up in the Hamilton game, but he's got some time to get better. Stiggers has been a real eye opener for a 21-year-old. He's been just dynamite. McFadden is still in the mix, and don't forget, Maurice Carnell IV is a guy who's going to be back, probably before Labor Day, the way that he's been recovering, and his recovery has been nothing shy of a miracle. He's recovered so quickly. So, I think they're fine in the secondary. It's just a question of, finding a guy to put him in the right spot. And, you still got JT Hassel in there, who's got NFL experience, and Isaiah King looked good in camp. And Mason Pierce is a guy in the corner as well who can play. So they've got guys who are adjusting not only to the system, but to the league, which is not easy. So I'm not uncomfortable at all with the guys in the secondary. I know there was a lot of talk about some of the changes, but when you are able to bring back Carnell at one point and get Roberts and Daniel, and, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Jamal Peters either. I guess there's still an opportunity for him to come back. I think it's a good group now that could get even better if number three comes back.
So we're going to move away from the on-field for a moment, and the Argos over the last 2 days did MLSC, I should say, did an initiative called Argos Celebration Day, in which, you guys have done it in the past, where you're offering tickets to three games that the team has identified as important or significant. So just trying to find out how that all went today and yesterday.
Well, we set a goal that was, and just to say what happens, everybody internally from MLSC is asked to sell a couple of tickets. Some did better than others, and some really went all out. And last year we sold X tickets, and this year we set a goal of X plus Y and surpassed X plus Y. It was a very, very successful day. Day and a half, I guess. It's going to get more people in the building. And that's what it is. It's get people to the building, and hopefully they fall in love with the game when they get there. So I know everybody's kind of in that mind right now, where times are a little tough, where inflation's high, where gas is very high, rent is ridiculous in Toronto. So the opportunity to offer these tickets at this price, I think to some fans was a real godsend, that they were able to, save up to 60% on a ticket and go down to support a team that already has pretty inexpensive tickets across the board. I'm thrilled. I couldn't be happier. Everybody at MLSC did a great job. They leaned in on the Argos, which is fantastic, to give us the support. And it was a really, really successful couple of days, which makes everybody involved with the Argos very happy.
Now, ordinarily, we'd be previewing a game, but for the we've got the bye week on the first week. Wonder if you could kind of join us for our we did a little bit of a AMA on social media, and we wonder if you could help us answer some of the questions we got.
Okay, I will do my best. I may have bad answers, and as I'll use a line McLeod Bethel Thompson used to use. He said, "Yeah, it was a good answer, but I may have made it up." So I may go on now. I may take some of Mac's advice on that one.
All right. Well, we've got the first question we've got here from Pigskin Punk at Pigskin Punk 13. What receiver will step up, not named Gittens, Ambles, or Daniels?
Well, it kind of narrows it down. I'll tell you who had a really good camp was Tommy Neal. I don't know how they're going to fit him into the rotation. Like I say, I don't know if there'll be two Canadians. I don't know where he and Brissett are against one another, because Brissett, obviously, like, there's a part of me that might want to put Neal in until the 20, and then Brissett is so good in the red zone. He's just got those basketball skills. Throw him in there. Like, he's been dynamite. But, I guess that would come down to Phillips or Coxey with the options that I have. If you're going to go American, they would be the two to look at, because they're not on the practice roster right now. Coxey was, still kind of not 100%. He had a pretty significant injury last season. He got back about 4 or 5 or 6 days into camp and looked dynamite. He made some spectacular catches in traffic over the course of camp. So I think he's ready to go. But, who's he going to beat out? If you go 4 Americans, he'll be in there all the time. If you go 3 Americans, I don't know what the status is, because he'd be up against Phillips, I would assume, with Daniels and Ambles getting spots. Ambles plays the R so well. So I just don't know what you do. And it's a good question, and I wish I had an answer. But I don't know, which of the Americans is going to step up or be given the opportunity first to step up. But don't forget, Cam Phillips as well was the leading receiver. He had a career high in the Grey Cup game last year in terms of receiving yards. And I think he's really flown under the radar. The guy just goes out and makes plays. So if you're looking for total yards, I don't know if you'll find that guy. But if you're looking for touchdowns and if you're looking for fantasy advice, either Coxey or Phillips would be a pretty good bet.
I kind of want to see. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I want to see Dejan Brissett. I think he's the one who's going to step up, to be honest. You have a good point about him in the red zone, Mike. But I just feel like it's going to be, this is what, his third season? Going to be as well. I think
yeah, going into free agency, I believe. And, you know, he was drafted number two overall for a reason. I mean, the talent is there. We know that. And sometimes it's just a kid given the opportunity to go in and play on a regular basis. And, you know, we saw that with Curley Gittens Jr. You know, I bet some coaches would have written him off after the first year. But here's a guy who's got his nose in the playbook every day at practice. If special teams are out there and he's not involved, he's over talking to Chad Kelly. It was the same thing with Mac last year. He works his rear end off, and anything that Curley Gittens does is not by accident. And, you know, Brissett could be that guy next this year. It could be Tommy Neal. It could be Ungerer, who had a really good camp. It could be one of the four Americans that we talked about. It could be a case where B.J. Bird comes in, you know, from the bullpen should somebody get hurt, or Haydel. There's some talent on this team, and maybe that's a good thing that the Argos have so many talented guys at receiver and at running back that they don't have to rely on one guy. Gittens was a better guy statistically last year, but there are a handful of guys who could be that guy with him this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, not name like Ambles and Kelly looked like they already been playing together for a decade in the last preseason game, with just throwing those strikes. And I don't even think Ambles had to even change his breathing pattern. That ball got there at the exact right time. But my guy would be, and it, you know, since Will already picked Brissett, I'm going Cam Phillips, because I was very hard at him last year, especially some of the things that happened early. That's going to happen with a new player, but he completely changed my thinking of him, and I'm looking for a big season from him.
Well, he's a guy who showed the talent in the XFL, right? He was the leading receiver in touchdowns and yards and in catches. And, you know, he kind of flashed in Touchdown Atlantic last year. He had that, I think it was like a 40-yard touchdown catch. And then, again, kind of followed it up. He'd make the plays every once. He got hurt. He'd come back. He'd make some plays. And then when it mattered the most, he had the biggest day of his CFL career in the Grey Cup. So you could be very well right. But, you know, I think it might be a different guy every game, to be honest, because it seemed to be a different guy every practice. You know, early on, it looked like, oh, boy, Kelly and Daniels are going to go off for 1,200 yards this year. And then, you know, two practices later, it's Gittens. And then a practice later, it's Ambles. And a practice later, it's Phillips. And then Coxie. Like, it was a different guy every day. And as, you know, somebody who hopes the Argos win, I think that's fantastic. Because, you know, all you have to do is look for the mismatch. And every receiver out there is good enough where there's going to be a mismatch, and it's just up to the Argos to identify it and exploit it.
Okay, next one we've got is from Argos Cowboy, at Argos Cowboy. Wants every one of us to pick a new player that will have the biggest impact on the 2023 season, and we're not allowed to duplicate players. So I'll give you the first shot, Mike. Who's new to this team?
You guys go first, and I'll play cleanup. So you guys get your pick.
Okay, I've been touting him on our show since we picked him up, but I'm ridiculously excited to see Adarius Pickett in this defense. He was a monster in Montreal, and somehow he is their defensive number. Defensive Player of the Year nominee, and he flew under the radar. And when you start to look at everything, he's going to be he's just a monster. I'm so excited to have him there.
It was funny. The first three or four days of camp, you didn't notice him, and then they went pads, and then you couldn't take your eyes off him. He's a guy that wants to play and will rise to the occasion, which he did so many times for Montreal last year. You know, the big plays against Ottawa when they really needed them. I think he had a fumble recovery for a touchdown against Ottawa last year. He's just, he's that guy. I mean, he's, that may have been the first name off my lips after what I saw in camp, but it's, that's a great pick in Pickett.
And then the other, you know, heard that he wanted to come to Toronto too.
Yeah.
That put it over the top for me.
It was funny because I don't think I'm talking out of school here, but Vince Magri phoned me. I think it was the second day of the window before free agency, so you could talk to players. And he said, we got a signing and a trade. He said, I think we have the signing. I think we got him. And I said, who's that? And he said, Pickett. And I went, oh, wow. That's amazing. And they said, yeah, and we also made a trade for Jordan Williams. So it was a good day. It was a really good day. But, yeah, Pickett wanted to – it was, like, early in the process. He committed to Toronto. I did a story on him, again, for Argonauts.ca, and he talked about how important Pinball Clemens was to the process. You know, that's he just thought the world of him, and he said, this organization was completely upfront with me. They were honest with me. And he appreciated that. And that's, you know, that's what Pinball has brought to the table. That's a reputation around the league. And Pickett was eager to come here. And he and Flo Arimolade were the first two guys when free agency opened on whatever, it was Valentine's Day. They were the first two guys. They both returned signed contracts within the first 15 minutes. So they both really wanted to be here.
So I admittedly, I misunderstood the question when I read it this afternoon, so I actually have to change my answer on the fly here, because my answer was not going to be a new player. But I'm going with Thomas Costigan on the defensive line. I mean, I don't know. I imagine both Flo, Thomas Costigan, and Robbie Smith are all going to get reps at defensive end, but now, here's a guy who had 6 sacks in 11 games in 2021 with Edmonton. Got traded to Montreal midway through last year, so he played for 2 teams. But he's somebody who I think has flown under the radar. I think he was a sneaky good signing that nobody really talked about. And I think he can, between the three of them, that's going to be a good rotation.
Well, yeah, and don't forget Barlow. Like, I mean, you've got 4 guys there who can just fly. So it is a really good rotation. And you mentioned the trade last year, and this is something I wrote in my free agency story. Thomas Costigan was almost a Toronto Argonaut last year. They had a deal worked out with Edmonton that fell apart at the 11th hour, but the Argos have been interested in him for quite some time. So. To get him in here and play in this system, I think he's a perfect guy for Mace's system. You know, with Smith and Arimolade and Barlow off the edge, that's something else. You know, you can play Marion there as well. So they've got the depth off the edge. And, you know, with the 4 linebackers, you know, 5 if you count Jones, depending on what, you know, who's in the lineup in any day. I'm really curious to see where the pressure comes from this year. But, yeah, Costigan's another good one. I'd like to go under the radar a little bit, but everybody's such a high-profile guy. I guess Flo would be the obvious one, so I'll go there. He's just he's so fast. I mean, he is so fast. He was doing spin moves early in camp and still doing them. It's just he's going to undress some guys, and he was getting pressures in the game, especially against Ottawa, that didn't result in sacks, but a pressure can result in a turnover. You know, if a quarterback is out of his rhythm and has to throw, and that's what Arimolade is going to do. And with the ball hawks they've got here in Toronto, I think that, you know, they paid a lot of money to get him, but I think that money's going to pay off. And, you know, if you're going to double team him, that's going to leave Costigan or Smith or Barlow singled up on the other side, or Hendricks or Oakman or Achimpong or Brinkman or Knight or Marion in the middle. So I wouldn't want to be an offensive coordinator trying to game plan against this front 7. It's front 6 specifically. It's going to be fun from a Toronto perspective.
All right. And the last one we'll do with you here. We've got one from Corey Allen. I probably had interactions with him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's at Corey_A_Proctor. And he wants to know, do the Argos suck or blow? I don't think you ever got an answer from any of the fans chirping you in Hamilton.
I'll be honest. I'll say the answer is both, because the Argos suck champagne from the Grey Cup and then blow kisses at Ty Cat fans.
I can't even come up with a better answer than that.
5-star answer.
It's what I do. It's what I bring to your show.
Well, I think we'll end this on a high note with you, Mike. We'll probably talk to you at some point during the season. Once again, thanks for joining us to help talk about the Argos' upcoming season and do a couple little Ask Me Anything questions.
That's any time at all. You guys have my number. Really have fun doing this. Thank you.
All right. Thanks Mike.
Okay. We'll talk soon. Thanks, guys.
Later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Mike Hogan. Damn, that was a good answer. I wasn't even sure how I was going to answer that. But, yeah, we'll leave it at that. That was a great answer. So let's go through the rest of them here. We've got Ty Cat Matt. So at Ty Cat_Matt. What position group is the biggest question mark in your eyes? After talking with Mike, my questions are a little bit more faint.
Yeah. I'll for the purposes of the question, I'll try to be a bit more pessimistic, if you will. Not that I question Robertson Daniels' talent, but his issue has been staying on the field over the last couple years. And you got to keep him healthy, at least for that first bit, until Maurice Carnell IV is healthy. And I think Priester, I almost feel like he works better as a Swiss Army knife. You know, you move him around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have to see some actual game action to be more
confident
in that boundary side of the secondary.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. I think it was kind of obvious in the way I worded the initial question about the secondary to and the corners to Mike. You know, that's an area of concern for me as well. We saw, a lot of the breakdowns in the preseason games there. And, looking back, they were probably playing a little bit more zone, a little bit things that you maybe not necessarily do in the regular season, don't have necessarily all the guys in there the whole time you want. But still, that's, we're essentially looking for two new corners. So it's obviously going to be the biggest question, I think, on the board.
It's not so much two new corners. Tavares McFadden has that field corner spot, I think, pretty well locked down. It's, again, we can discuss the boundary side because, of course, there was news this week that, could solve that as well. I need to see a couple weeks of game action before I'm confident on that side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, the other one I'll add is kind of got to watch that right guard position. Darius Vladek I don't think he participated at all in training camp.
No, and Mike did mention that when he's healthy, so he's relatively banged up at this point. Yeah.
That's something to watch out for.
Yeah. Next one we've got from the good ship Aaron at the AA team. Not including winning the Grey Cup again, what can be viewed as a successful season for this team?
Grey Cup finalist.
Last year, I said 12 to 14 wins for this team. I'm saying the exact same thing again this year. So if I don't get that, that's going to be a failure. But honestly, I think this team has the has all the tools to get to the Grey Cup and win it. And that's what I'm going to view as a success. But, I mean, individual successes. I want to see, you know, Chad Kelly healthy the whole season and take control of this team. And I want to see at least 4,000 yards out of him.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing one of the American receivers get to that 1,000-yard mark either.
Yeah. You know, those are things we can kind of judge it as a successful campaign. Whether it's a full success, I don't think we're going to be happy unless it is the Grey Cup. Yeah. And then, speaking of the quarterback thing, we get FM Fan 9. If Chad Kelly struggles or is injured, do you think the Argos stick with the current QB group, or do they go and acquire a vet QB?
I think they're going to have to consider their options elsewhere. I'm sorry, but nothing I saw in the preseason from the backup quarterbacks provided me with any confidence that they could win us games.
Yeah, like, I mean, both Dukes and Scott had their moments,
right?
But they also had their moments where you would look at them and go, okay, that's not what we want to see. I honestly think it's gonna depend on if something like that happens timing wise, right? Like, you don't know if, you know, there's somebody else out there right now. You know, who knows? Maybe McLeod Bethel Thompson could become available when the USFL season ends, sure. Or maybe there'd be somebody else from there that might be worth bringing up. But yes, so right now I think I'm, as it stands right now, I'm not 100% confident that either Dukes or Scott can lead the team. If Chad goes down, can they come in and help out, you know, and get us through things? Absolutely. I think Scott's probably your better option. But Dukes looks like he's got a ass load of an upside.
Yep.
Where else we go here? Well, I'll go to Terry MC at Terry_MC. Do you think there's a chance the Toronto Argos could win the Grey Cup in 2027? I'm asking for a friend. Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
What
yes, they can.
2027? I don't know, but
I'm not sure. I didn't even look up what that reference would have meant.
Yeah, get it either.
But yeah, yes, they can win in 2027. So you can tell your friend Terry that they will win in 2027. And a friend of the show, Ben Grant, Ben_Grant. I want to hear the pod's origin story. How did you all meet, and where did it begin? The four score and seven. No. I know on my side, I was doing work with the Argos Admirals, and we were kind of on the tail end of Travis doing the junior admiral stuff, and he wasn't enjoying it as much as he once was. He felt like it was getting to work, so I wanted something else to do. So I, you know, reached out internally to our group and see if anybody was interested in doing a podcast. We had one of our original hosts, Anthony Chardilly, stepped up and said, "Yeah, I'm interested." So we recorded a show, And then you were also looking to start your own show.
Mm-hmm. But I don't have the technical ability to edit and splice in music and all that jazz.
So, and honestly, I looked at him like, okay, why would we try and compete? You know, there's enough fractures in our fan base already. Why not try and, you know, bring it together? So like I reached out to you, Will, and said, hey, you're doing a show. We're doing a show. Why don't we do one show and put them all together? And we had Anthony in the second year, we're doing the show, had many more family commitments and couldn't necessarily make the recording times as often as he'd want to. So we brought in several guest hosts with us. And Mr. Douglas Ballinger stuck. And then we became the three-headed monster that is the Argos Fancast.
Correct.
Got ourselves some fancy shirts, made some stuff out there, and yeah.
Made some trading cards. Well, we didn't, but...
These trading cards, you know, photoshopped our faces onto John Candy, Bruce McNall, and Wayne Gretzky. And the rest is history. And we've been going strong. Oh, geez, we're six, 7 years now, something like that.
2017, so 17, 18, 19. It's our seventh season.
Yeah. So, and you know, when Ben started doing his show, it was more. I think when I heard he was doing a show. There was nothing in that I thought we were going to be competing with them for. I don't even know why I didn't think we were going to be competing with them, because we're both doing a show about the Argos. But, you know, we've found that, like, you know, I think we complement each other's shows pretty well. You know, he's literally the X's and the Argos, and we're the history and the whatever the hell it is that Doug and I bring.
Yeah, Ben's show, I never considered them, you know. They know a lot more about the X's and O's than we do. And it's always great to have Ben on to philosophize about the Argos.
Oh, exactly. I mean, and you know, we've said it. We've encouraged everybody to go listen to their show as well. So, yeah. For whatever reason, it is the dynamic between our show and Ben's show is worked out. And I think somebody mentioned on Twitter that maybe we should think about doing an Argos audio network or something like that. And I'm like, maybe it's an idea we need to talk to Ben about. Maybe, you know, kind of combine our skills so that it's maybe a little bit easier for everybody to find everything in one place.
Exactly.
But that is a discussion for off the air with Ben and see how things work. But anyway, you can always go listen to the X's and Argos. Check them out at X's and Argos. And obviously listen to our show. We're 7 years strong. We're into the Argos 150
championships.
Yeah. So. It's a pretty, we've got a pretty good record here.
Yeah.
Now.
Shall we move on to Mr. Peters or?
Well, I you know what, I think we were going to talk about Chad Kelly and
I guess.
And the one thing, you know, we'll move on in a second from this, but the one thing that I noticed in that video. That Dave Naylor, or that piece that Dave Naylor did, is And I'm sure there was a lot of stuff. It wasn't just that, you know, 8 minutes directly with them. There's probably a little bit more to that. But Chad Kelly, when his uncle Jim was talking, when they showed him, he looked like somebody who was, you know, not only just listening to the things that were being said, but analyzing them all at the same time to try and take it all in. I looked at some past interviews that we've seen of Chad Kelly. You didn't see that necessarily. It's like he definitely does look like he is all in,
locked in,
100%. Now, moving on, Jamal Peters, who signed with the Atlanta Falcons in the offseason, was recently cut by Atlanta. I think everybody thinks that he should be, the Argos should be reaching out to him, and I don't doubt that that Vince Magri or Pinball have probably already talked to him at some point to gauge where his head's at.
And he's as Ben and Mike Mitchell found out the night of the release, he is still, the Argos still retain his rights.
So if he does want to come back to the CFL, we're always glad to have him. Honestly, I think he's going to really try and exhaust all of his NFL options before he comes back up here. Obviously, you know, going down there, that's a dream for hell, a lot of guys down there, a lot of guys up here too. And, you know, far be it from us to say, you know, squash your dream and get back up here. We need another Grey Cup, but you know, if you can't make the dream down there happen, squash it, get back up here, help us win another Grey Cup, because we know you will.
Someone joked on Argo fans that Dane Evans is begging Rick Campbell to sign Jamal Peters so Dane Evans doesn't have to play against him anymore.
Oh, yeah. I could see that as well. All right. Well, since it was preseason, we have roster cuts now.
Final roster cuts.
Yeah, I think, not a whole lot of shocks on there. I think going in, we thought the quarterback, Ben Holmes, who had a, you know, more or less a year in the system, was probably, you know, penciled in as number two. He got outplayed in the preseason by Scott and Duke, so he's out.
Yeah, he just, the poor guy just couldn't get on track.
No. And the only other one that I'm looking at that I thought might have had a shot, but obviously was on the outside looking in, Enoch Penny-Laurier. But I mean, with the amount of talent in that linebacking core, he would have to really stand out.
Yeah. I mean, think of it this way. I think he was fifth on the Canadian, in linebackers alone, he was fifth in that draft, in that depth chart.
Yeah. So did you see any shocks on there from the cuts list?
Not shocks, but a couple that sort of raised an eyebrow. Mario Villamizar, the fullback, was brought in to some degree of fanfare. And maybe Caleb Holden.
Yeah, he's another name there that I think we had high hopes for. Yeah, and And then we did keep Alfredo Gochus, the kicker. Yeah, or as my son's calling him, Penny Alfredo.
Well, you know what though, he's
he looked
three
good.
For three on field goals.
Yeah, and he looked like he had some leg behind those kicks. I mean, he was the number one kicker in the Mexican league down there. So you know, he's got talent. And he did have a tryout with Pittsburgh as well before he came up here. So he's got talent there. We've retained him on our practice roster, as well as Tiggy Sanko is still there, and another kid from England, Emmanuel Falola. He's a linebacker on our practice roster. And the last show, I got excited when I found out that we had a alumnus from the Colorado School of Mines, Mason Pierce. He did make the practice roster, so I'm happy about that.
And BJ Birdie.
Yes.
Who had a touchdown.
He looked really good.
Yeah.
Honestly, when we were talking about the receiver stuff, I completely forgot about him. And then when Mike mentioned him, I'm like, oh, damn, that's another guy.
Right, but I mean, Mike was correct in pointing out, you know, he's not on the active roster right
no,
now.
He's on the practice roster, so.
Yeah.
Oh, and, well, Will, you did mention that you have a flag to drop.
Illegal procedure. Defense. They made the offense moved. 5-yard penalty. First down repeated.
I'm not going to name names, but as you know, we talked with Mike. The Argos did their celebration day today, or yesterday, and the part of today. And some of you on Twitter may have noticed some people mentioning that they didn't like it because they felt it undervalued or made their season ticket subscription worth it, finding out that other people are getting more money. This is sort of what I have to draw a bit of a line here. The team is struggling for relevance in this market. And, you know, we've all seen attendance go down to the, you know, some games below the 10,000 mark. And am I willing to leave it that way just so I can feel good about my season tickets not being undercut? Absolutely not. If this initiative results in permanent fans, then fine. Like, you know, I hope the team is sort of making a list, if you will, of these people who have taken advantage of this offer to try and
convert them to season ticket holders.
Yeah, follow up with them afterward, you know. But honestly, I'm not going to rant about this.
No, and I'm in the same boat as you will. You know, I think these fans would have a leg to stand on had they've been selling all the games. We're talking about three games.
Right.
And I dare you to go to just about any market in professional sports and not find some discounted tickets for select games. you know, if you look at the regular price of these tickets, our season tickets are a little bit lower, and we're getting tickets for all the games. So, yeah, you may think it undercuts you, but in the long run, we're paying for more games at a better price than, you know, the regular person is going to pay for one of these games and one regular price game. You know, I think it's a short-sighted argument, really. And I, for one, am more than happy to, you know, sit next to somebody on opening day or on a CNE game, and them go, "Man, I'm so glad I got this deal, and I was able to come to this game. This is so much fun." Well, come back. I want you to come back. I want people in there to experience how much fun an Argos game can be. And people come back, you know? So anyway, now we get to move on to Will's favorite thing. The fantasy and the pick'em.
Fantasy football.
Okay.
The bane of our existence.
So this year you're given 70,000. They actually cut our budget a little bit, I believe.
Was it 60 or 70?
It says 70 right now.
Okay.
So last year we just kind of went through and grabbed a couple people. In this spot, we do have to fill out an entire team per the rules of our podcast league. So we will be doing that. So
we have to make sure we read the rules this year.
Yeah. I'll read them one day.
You'll read them now, mister.
As a quarterback, you know, I think there's everybody's pretty close in what they're worth. You know, we're looking between 12,000 and 14,000. I think that's for all the starting quarterbacks. So it's, you know, take your pick. Who do you think is going to have a better game against their team? You know, the only reason I wouldn't pick Zach Caleros against Hamilton is I think we might need the extra 2,000. So I am going to plop in former Argo Trevor Harris as our quarterback right now.
Against the Elks.
Yeah. Because I think he's, you know, Mr. Reliable. He may light you on fire, but he's definitely gonna at least have a good meal on you. Will, is there any guy that you can see right off the bat? And give me any position.
Oof. I kind of went Kevin Brown and Jamal Morrow at running back.
All right.
Don't take my word for it. I suck at this.
Well, that's what we're going with now. And then I'm going to throw a defense in there. I'm going to go with Winnipeg. For some reason, they're only 8,400. They're one of the cheaper options, so we'll throw them in a defense, and let's just grab a wide receiver here. Geez, I think we've at that. That puts us at 26,000 or 26,000 left. We got three spots open, so we'll need to get a little bit frugal here.
I like that word,
frugal. Frugal. So let's. You know what? Just because I feel like he needs to do something, we'll go with Nate Behar.
Sure.
And then we'll fill out the rest of our stuff after. We got another wide receiver and another flex player to put in.
I took cheap. I took Nick Arbuckle because he was cheap.
Yeah, well, that may be an option if we can't figure out somebody in there. But yeah, we'll. This is what we've got penciled in. Winnipeg is our defense. Trevor Harris, quarterback. Brown and Morrow are your running backs. And Nate Behar is a wide receiver. We still got a wide receiver and a flex to pick with $17,700 left units in our budget.
As Ben and JB said on their Fancast, units. If you listen, 20 units. We have 20 units. I was going to have to suggest something better to Ben.
I like that. I like that. All right. Now, go back to the, we'll go over our pick'em. And we all know, Doug did not submit his picks, so he gets the random flip of the coin. Let's start the week off with Thursday night. We've got BC in Calgary. I think this is going to be a tight game, but I'm going to go with Calgary just because they're the home team.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to Ben philosophize that Calgary might take a little bit of time to figure things out. I'll go opposite of you and say BC.
Okay, and
I have a penny here. I'll flip it.
Okay, so...
Canadian penny. I don't know. Is this lying on the floor?
All right, so heads is the away team. Tails is the home team.
Yeah. So this one landed on the Maple Leafs. So that's the tails.
All right.
So Doug is picking...
Calgary.
Okay.
All right, Friday night, we've got Hamilton in Winnipeg. I don't think we need to really say anything Winnipeg across the board.
Well, I mean, if we flipped for Doug and it landed on Hamilton, I don't think he'd appear on the show again, so.
Oh, yeah, I don't think we'd appear on the show again. Saturday, we've got Ottawa in Montreal. I'll let you pick your first.
I think I took Ottawa in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go opposite you. I'm going to go Montreal just because I don't know if Nick Arbuckle is going to be able to do it.
He better.
And what does Doug pick?
Oh, okay. Tails.
Tails. He's once again picking the home team.
All right.
And then Sunday, we've got Saskatchewan in Edmonton.
Okay. So, you know I'm not picking Saskatchewan. But there's a damn good reason why I'm not picking Saskatchewan. Because this is Edmonton's first home game. Their chance to finally break that fucking long streak. And I don't want the Argos going in there for their next home game. Because, you know, last year we kept saying, you know, I was nervous for 3 fucking months about it. And you know, so just beat those Saskatchewan fuckers already. Get your stupid home win. And lose against the Argos in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I see where you're going with, but I'm not subscribing to your magazine there, Will. I'm picking Saskatchewan over Edmonton.
Of course you are.
They're going to continue that losing streak, and they're going to continue that losing streak against Toronto when we go in there next as well. So,
all right, Doug is picking. Let me flip that again. Queen Lizzie.
Queen Lizzie, so he's picking Saskatchewan as well.
Wonder if... It's a bad omen.
Doug, your penny flip has angered Will. So let's see. That's what you get for working.
Ugh, you've picked Calgary, Winnipeg. Did you pick Montreal or Ottawa? I don't remember.
I picked Montreal. Montreal and Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? I think we've had enough fun on the show.
Yeah, I've sworn enough.
I don't think we have much for the 3-minute warning anyway. So let's just end it on a high note here. And want to thank Mike Hogan for joining us, and Corey Allen. They both suck and blow. Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find Doug at DougB519 or find the Double Blue Order at, well, just search the social medias for Double Blue Order. You'll find them. Well, you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast. Or anyway, find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. We are proudly powered by Spotify for podcasters. So search up directly on Spotify. Search Argos Fancast. You'll find us. That does it for the Argos Fancast this week. We'll talk to you next week when we're previewing... Cheers, everyone.